Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I'll read from verse 1. And it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Hallelujah. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. To get to that position, to get to the valley of the shadow of death, that simply means somewhere along the line, communication between him and you has been severed. And you now found yourself in the valley of the shadow of death. But David wrote, he said, your rod and your staff. Instead of, because we have this mentality that when we go wrong, God is there immediately to punish us. So we have that, we're in the wrong, so he's there present to punish us. But David had a revelation of God. He said, your rod and your staff, they do what? They comfort me. You had no business ending there. But right there, he's with you. You fear not. And his rod and his staff comforts you. We win. Irrespective. We win. Amen. We win. And even because if we read verse 3, it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the only reason why anybody is finding himself in the valley of the shadow of death is because, you know, you one way or the other, you're not following that communication. You're not yielded. You're not being led of God. But right there, even in the presence of a wrong mistake, a wrong decision, his rod and his staff comforts you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Guys, we win. Any way you want to look at it, we win. Amen. Any way you want to look at it, from the top, the bottom, the side, whichever way you want to look at it, we win. And we have to get to that place in our walk with God that we understand, we realize God is not angry against you. Now, individually, we all know what we are holding on to, for which we justify that God be angry with us. He's not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He is not against you. He is not looking for an opportunity to deal with you. He's not looking for the chance to sort you out. He is for you and he is with you. And he still has the best intentions for you. Irrespective, in spite of that thing that you had no business doing, there, in the midst of it, he is still for you. Amen. So that's what happens naturally. When you know you've done something you had no business doing, you want to run away from God. But right there in the midst of that, God is saying, run to me. Who else, if because of what you did, you run away from me, who would you run to? Run to him. The prodigal son did not know. But the moment the father saw him, he ran towards him. And that was the story Jesus gave. And if there's anybody that knows the Father good enough, it's Jesus. Always run to him. His rod and his staff will always, always, always comfort you, irrespective of whatever you may have done, in spite of what it is. Amen. And God is overtaking my... Just do it, Lord. You need to get to a point where you become judge. of the truth and what is a lie. God has done his own bit. But you need to get to that point where you become judge. You are a lie. This is the truth. Oh yes, I did it. But if you cannot read, because I'm sure you heard it when he wrote this. Let me show you something. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. He is going at you. He's telling you that was a nasty, dirty thing you did. How could you do that? You've been born again for 20 years. How you did it again. Forget about anointing. Forget about the blessing. That is the reason why you're going to die. You are a liar. You need to get that point where you judge correct. You are a liar. Now listen to the truth. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I'm cleansed. That is the truth. And this is what I hold on to. Irrespective, in spite. And you judge what is the truth. Your salary is not ordained of God to take care of you. If you're still thinking that way, that's a lie. Be the judge. Your salary cannot take care of you. It's God that takes care of you. I know the truth. You have to be able to say it. My need is met, not according to my salary, not according to my wise investments, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the truth. That is the truth. Okay, if you've been so meticulous, you know how to save, you know how to invest, and that's the way you've been brought up. Fine. If you want to hold on to that, fine. But my need is met according to God's riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. That's my truth. You know what the body is telling you? It's feeling the same way it felt when you ended up with the GP, and GP did his test and said, this is what it is. That thing has a name. It fades in the presence of the name of Jesus. And you are the one that does it. It's not just going to automatically fade. No, you be the judge. No. Like Jesse Duplantis says, when he feels something in his body, he says, Jesus, come! Come here! Turn your back. And that's it. The symptom leaves him. Because he has a living understanding of the truth that by the stripes of Jesus, he is healed and he has been made whole. Now that is the truth. In spite of what you feel, you have to step over your five physical senses. If you are to walk with God, I'm not saying ignore, but I'm saying override. You have to get to that point where you can override what your five physical senses is telling you using the truth. Last time I came, what do I call it? Shadow. It's a shadow. But the truth will change it. So the truth will change it. So you need to get to that point where, glory be to God. Yes, they will call you names. So you turn up to work. Say, how are you doing? You say, I'm by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and I've been made whole. You say, huh? Your eyes are red, short, you are sneezing, everything. How can you say that? Thank God I did not talk to you before I left my house. Because the one I spoke to before I left said, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I've been made whole. They say, oh, he's a nut. Yes, I'm the nut that if I hold on to my confession, I'll be the one that is the one that's healed. Amen. You need to judge what is the truth and what is a lie. And hang on to the truth. The lie will go. Eventually, I don't know why I'm going back to that song. Eventually, every other name will fade away. Eventually. But you have to realize this. At Calvary, or even before Calvary, let me show you. God has taken over the... Glory be to God, my plan has gone. But anyways, God is somebody being blessed here? Then we can carry on. Genesis chapter 1. Let's show you exactly when this happened. Genesis chapter 1. and verse 4. Let's read verse 3. Yeah. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4 reads, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That is when your victory took place. That point, when he placed a division. Light, the truth. Darkness, the lie. He enacted it. And then to give you a physical representation, he sent his only son. So as long as you hold on to that name, the doctors may be saying, you're running out of time. You need to... Praise God. Now, before people say, oh, pastor came and said anything, you know what? to experience divine healing and divine health, you have to judge who is true and who is lie. Okay? Isaiah 53 starts with, who has believed our report? And unto whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The one who experiences God's revealed arm is the one who believes his report. In spite. And I'm not saying look down on the medical professionals. No. I'm not saying in spite of their report. You're saying the one that matters. I know how I'm feeling my body. But the one that matters says, By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I'm judging that the truth that I'm standing on and every other thing is a lie. So I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to overrule it. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I'm made whole. And you make up your mind, this is where they'll find me tomorrow. Still saying the same thing. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I've been made whole. They'll find me next week. Still saying this one, irrespective of how my body may have felt the whole 7 days, I am still saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I'll be made whole. They come next month, I'm still saying the same thing. They come 3 months from today, I am still declaring, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I'll be made whole. They come next year, same thing. Remember what Pastor said? I am the Lord and I change not. You need to get to that point where you say the same thing. He is my Father. I can declare the same. I am his son and I change not. As long as I found what he has said, that is where you find me. I don't care what my 5 physical senses is saying. It's a shadow. It's a shadow. It's a shadow. Saying, oh, 25 years to pay off the mortgage. Shadow. The blessing of the Lord has, I'm rich. I'm heir to riches that if I'm to explain it, even me, yourself, I'll go crazy. Amen. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, God told me, there's nothing. Oh, no, it was this week. It was this week. Because I was meditating on all the areas where Jesus said, ask in my name and you get it. And God told me, there's nothing you can ask me. There's nothing you can ask me that can catch me by surprise. There's nothing. There's no desire in your heart that goes, yeah. Wait 2 years more before. No. There's no need that can come up in your life that will catch God by surprise. That you knock off. You come to him with a need and it knocks him off his throne. It can't happen. Amen. Beyond. I mean... Okay, God has done it again. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. So God, this is how you do it. Just take away my own message and you do your own thing. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Are you there? Because you need to see this. This is actually in your Bible. It has been there for a very long time. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son. Now let's add some light. Jesus was all that God had. That's all he had. If Jesus failed, as unimaginable as it is, that is it. Finished. That's all he had. He who did not spare all he had, but delivered him up for who? For who? For who? For who? For who? He delivered him for us all. Now here's the question that you have to answer God. How shall he not with him also, oh God. When I get to this word, I just melt. Freely. 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 And I have to hold my hand. It's us preachers that have made receiving from God hard. No. No. He's the best giver. He's the best giver. And the reason why it seems complex is he wants to keep that idiot out of the equation. Because the moment that idiot is not in the equation, receiving from him becomes the easiest thing to do. The devil knows when you learn how to do it once, he's finished. So he will always, and God is not going to do anything to stop it. Because at Calvary, God did everything he had to do. Amen. Freely. Freely give us. Freely give us all things. All things. So what's a mortgage? What's a mortgage? Come down, because I'm still believing God will buy our first house mortgage free. Still believe that. I'm still holding on to it. Coming down our house, me and my wife were just talking. And I said, what would it cost God? We go and view the house, we agree on the price, and then without us knowing, somebody calls and said, a couple visited you. We are the one paying for that house. What would it cost God? It's us that thinks, oh, listen, oh, glory. Freely, 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 freely. Let's stop. Listen, if your faith is not producing, let's be real. Huh? Freely. So you tell yourself, this is what the word of God is saying about me. Until my life is a direct picture, I haven't started. So you need to get serious. Because for some of us, I divert now. For some of us, our first couple of days in heaven might be very challenging. Do you know why I say that? What we consider the most precious matter, God has used for tar. Some of us say, where do I step? Glory be to God. He has freely given you all. And I have to round up now. I'll round up with one of the readings. I noticed when... Okay. Mr. O, you're a teacher. Let's see. Who did the last reading? It was two people did the last reading. Yes. I noticed when the young man said this opening statement to 1 John chapter 5, nobody responded. I'm thinking, wow. Are you there? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Show of hands. How many of you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Born of God. You, born of God. Born of God. If you want to, because some of you are thinking, is that all it takes? I dare you. Go outside, on the way home, do this. Just don't go out near a church, because if you go near a church, the chances of you meeting someone that actually believes God will be high. Anywhere. The first 10 people you see, just ask them, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? And see. Grace has opened our eyes. We now know. It's easy for us. But go out. Go out and find out. And then the reason why I brought this up is, I think it was 2007, 2008. My sister didn't know whether she was born again or not. I remember I was driving to go and see her late in the evening, around 8, 9. So I just said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? She said, yes. I said, you're born of God. I'll meet you. I'll see you soon. That's it. Bible. If you can read, that's what the Bible says. It says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. And verse 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The life of God is in you. The moment you said, Jesus be my Lord, the life of God is in you. And we read in John where it says, our life is the light. Huh? It shines in the darkness. Darkness cannot comprehend. You carry in you the life of God. And if we're going to take God literally, you can go ahead and say the DNA of God is in your spirit right now. You bear in you. Now, because it's kind of difficult to say just you and not be very specific. Now, I'm talking about your spirit because it's your spirit that got born again. I hope you realize that. It's your spirit that born again. Yeah, got born again. Your spirit bears the DNA of God. Whatever God can do, you do. Amen. When elephant gives birth, that elephant just needs to eat. And with time, it will become big. All you have to do is feed on that. And you become big. Because the greatest one is in you now. His life is in you now. Whatever cannot hold him down, cannot hold you down. Whatever cannot limit him, cannot limit you. And it's not enough just to know God cannot be limited, so I'm not going. No, you make it happen. Say, no, I'm not going to be limited. The life of God is in me. The one who made me is the best. He's the greatest. Therefore, as his son, as his daughter, I am big too. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to, I think it's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and then I will, we'll round up from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You make it happen. Amen. God has done his own part. He has ensured that everything that's required for you to be born of him, let's put it on the line. You're not born of him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. A direct translation of that mighty in God means, with the weapon of your warfare, you can do whatever it is you set in your mind to do. There's nothing that can limit you. But you are the one that has to make it happen. As I said, listen, there's nothing you'll come up that will knock God off his throne and say, hey, I'm going to, no, there's nothing you can come up with that will catch him by surprise. Amen. And then John, I believe it's John verse 15, verse 8. It says, if I abide in you and my words abide, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. You will commandeer what you desire and it will be happen to you. You commandeer it. This is the will of my Father. Now, help me know. Oh God, that's another message entirely. Help me know. In the life and the ministry of Jesus, there was something called immediately. If you read the story of Jesus, some people encountered Jesus and their own came immediately. Immediately. And I have to, most of us ministers that made you think, oh, God has to teach you. To take you through the valley of the shadow of death. He would train you. That lack to train you how to be prepared for the abundance. It will take, you'll have to fast, you'll have to shout. You know, heaven is very far. You have to shout. No, it can happen immediately. And John 15 is Jesus who said, he says, if he abides, let's get it right. John 15, because these are the words of Jesus. You commandeer it to happen. If you are bold enough to say it, God has the power to back it up. So you have to moment there to happen. You have to make it happen. John 15, and it's a good thing I went because it's not verse 8. It's actually verse 7. If you abide in me. Now these are the words of Jesus. This is not it's not Paul talking. This is Jesus himself. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's the condition. That is the condition. Sir, can you help me now? That is the condition. You abiding in him and his words abiding in you. And I'm looking forward to the privilege to say this. I strongly believe that the five virgins, ten, some had half had oil, half did not have oil. Remember that story? Thank you. I strongly believe that oil represents the word of God. Revelation of the word of God. If it is in you, if his words are abiding in you, you've taken the time to settle his word in your heart. Taking the time to remain in him. Oh yes, the report has come, but you choose not to be moved by what you've heard. You first of all look in and find out what is he saying. And you allow yourself only to be affected by what he's saying. And you take the time to abide in his word. You let his word. Someone, it's forever. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven. His word now needs to be settled in your heart. You are the one. That is your duty as a believer. A believer simply means you are believing something. And if it is not God's word you are believing, I need to ask you, what are you believing? That bad believer simply means you are believing his word. And as long as you've done all it takes to settle that word in your heart, all you have to do is ask him what it is you are desiring. He said it. He said it will be done. He said it will be done. In the eyes of men, it might be impossible. But with him, nothing is impossible. Nothing. You're talking about the life of God. And it's in you right now. That life is in you right now. You see, God didn't put a limit. We are the ones that introduced that limit. It's time you take that limit off. Take it off. Take it off. Amen. And let his promise inspire what you believe can be yours. And then just commandate it. Come it forth. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. You know, some people have said, oh, God put the sickness on me so you could get some glory. No. God gets glory from you when you are well and whole. When you can go out there to that sick and dying world and tell them, would you let me pray for you? There is healing for your body in the name of Jesus. I am a testimony. You can go to London and tell them, listen, yes, finance of the world. Well, glory be to God. I am backed by rich Jew. Amen. And you ask them with the fact that you are now abundantly blessed because you give. It's just simple. You followed a simple give, and he's given to you. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is Lord needs to stop being a religious stop heart. It's the truth. Jesus is Lord. And then you lock it in your life. Say, now anything that anything that's not representative of the Lordship of Jesus. First John says, as he is right now. As he is right now. So are you. So what is it? What is it? What is it? That's going, na 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 na, you can't get it. Shut him up. Because Jesus did it already. He did it already. He did it already. I need to remind him, listen. He was in your kingdom for 3 days. On the first day, we know where he is. So where's your power? Where's your power? Where, listen, the life of God is in you. And it's time the world knows. The world knows. Yeah, they'll call you whatever they want to call you. Because has anybody understood the wind? You know where it's coming from. I know where it's going. That's the same way you are to them. Look at you. They'll call you names. But you didn't have a meeting with them before you believed what it is you believe in. So let them talk. All they're doing is talking. That's all they're doing. Talk. Because they're jealous. Eventually one day they'll come to you and say, how did you do it? If you are steadfast. If you are steadfast. You don't allow it to affect you. They will come to you. You have to understand. Do this one day. Don't leave for too long before this thing. Peeping Tom, what they call it. When it's night, stand outside somebody's house that there's light. You will see that person clearly. But the person that's inside, try and see the person. You should try it. So they know. One, they know you're acting funny. And two, they can see it. Eventually, they'll come to you. And they'll ask you, how do you do it? And then you will have the glorious opportunity to be the minister of Jesus. I say, his name is Jesus. I met him. I live on his word. And he's the reason why. I don't care what the economy of the world is saying. I always have a smile because somehow I know I'm taken care of. And that's why I can live free of sickness. Free. Pastor, you need to be. Nah, come on. The devil lost as well. Amen. He can't read because Isaiah prophesied it. He said, oh, glory be to God. Isaiah prophesied it before it happened. He said, Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace. The moment they chastised him, your peace was signed. He could have read and said, don't that. Every wound you place on him, they are going to be free. Don't touch him. But he didn't know. They touched him. So you can expect to live health. Every morning, just wake up and say, thank God for healing. Hopefully next when I come again, because Psalm 20 is very deep. You keep on reading. It says he prepares a table before me. What can you see on that table? When I wake up, I see healing. I take it. Healing for my body. I take it. I'm healed. And I've got to that age where I have to confess Psalm 103 every day. He satisfies my mouth with things. My youth is renewed like the eagle. I'm a teacher. My students say, so you're going bald, sir. Say, Specsavers. You should have gone to Specsavers. Because you need to look well. I have a full head of hair. Amen. They'll joke. But I know who I consulted. And they say, oh, sir, you're growing gray hair. You're old. But every time he fills my mouth with good things, my youth is being renewed. Renewed, renewed, renewed. I have to make that confession every day. My youth is renewed. I see that on the table. I take it. What do you see on that table that God has prepared before you? You learned something this morning. I have to stop because I feel if I don't stop, Pastor, I have to take this microphone off me. Have you learned something this morning? Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. I'm going to leave with one question. What do you see on that table? He has prepared a table before you. What can you see on that table? Just take it. Just take it. If it's healing, take it. God has not ordained you to live on tablets to sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. If that's what you need, just take it. Just take it. That's one. He says, I find it very, very, very difficult not to sleep at night. That's the easiest thing for me to do because I've worked the whole day. I sleep. Besides, I have the promise that he gives his beloved. Whatever it is you need, just take it. Whatever you need right now, take it. With your word, just say, Father, I believe I receive it. Father, I believe I take it. Name it and take it. He prepared that table for you. One, he knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows what you desire. What can you see on that table that he's prepared for you? Take it. You have to take it. Just say, Father, I thank you. Take it. Whatever it might be, take it. Just take it. Take it. And if you don't know what to say, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, he that prays in an unknown tongue, he talks directly to God. The Spirit is praying every time you pray in the Spirit. So if you can't think of anything to take or receive from that table that is prepared in front of you, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you. We leave today changed. We leave today with an encounter with you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Lord. We've received your word. That means light has flooded us. And we have your understanding. We now know exactly what we need to do. We know exactly what we need to do because you have visited with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.